This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Surfing the globe, bringing you LGBT news, views, and personalities from around the world, one country at a time. It's the World Wide Wave, here on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to the World Wide Wave. Tonight we'll be taking you to Norway. Now Norway's interesting. They're no longer fighting for political liberation rights like gay marriage or gay adoption rights. They've gotten that all accomplished and they're moving on to work with other countries around the world. We've got a pretty inspiring lineup from this pretty inspiring country, including Per Christian Foss, the ex-prime minister of Norway, who was the first gay prime minister in the world. Got several other guests for you this evening. Who are some of those guests, Tom?
Marna from the LLH, which is the Norwegian Gay and Lesbian Group, let's call them. They're the ones that fight for the gay guys over there. We like them. Also, Mr. Europe is going to be speaking to us tonight.
Yes, the Mr. Gay Europe Association based in Norway. I'm Hikar Freeman, joined here by
Tom
and Squirrel.
And we'll also be speaking with the Faggot Corps. And as always, the Eurovision chat with Andrew Bell of the Full Catastrophe.
More information on Eurovision. We love you for that.
I know you do. We're going to be talking first with Ida Bergstrom of LLH.
In a society where most of our formal rights are already in place, the kind of boring but obvious answer is that what we have to work with now is people's attitudes.
How far do you see political emancipation coming, being able to declare that in Norway?
So can we declare political emancipation in terms of all laws are in place?
Yeah, all laws and protections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We still have a few years, Jin. We're not very good in terms of transgender rights. We still lag behind there, along with many other European countries. And there's also some discrimination laws that are not quite in place. So I don't know. You'll have to give us a few more years, maybe another 10 years, and we can declare us politically emancipated.
10 years. Wow. That's interesting that you said 10 years. That's... Many LGBT organizations worldwide are putting a lot of effort into stopping bullying of LGBT youth, particularly over the internet, in Norway being one of the most highly wired societies. How bad is the problem in Norway, and what's LLH doing to sort of combat that?
I mean, it's bad here, just as anywhere else. The word for the slang word for gay, homo, which is what they use in Norwegian, is one of the most commonly used swear words or name-calling words in the schools. And there has been research done that shows that LGBT students most definitely are more bullied than others. But the study actually also showed that they are more likely to be bullies as well. So there's more research, I think, that needs to be done in order to fully know how to tackle this. We don't have any specific sort of campaigns at the moment targeted at the youth, but LLH is currently working with the teachers and with the principals to try and ensure that they have a climate of diversity and respect and tolerance. We have local branches. We have about 13 or 14 local branches, and they go out in the schools and give talks to the students and stuff. So all in all, I mean, the school arena has been one of the main focuses for the organization for as long as we've legally existed anyways. I think a lot of people in Norway think that it is completely okay to be gay in Norway today. We get that question a lot. Why do you even exist anymore? You can get married and you can have kids and do anything. And, you know, we love your icons. We love Gro Hammerseng. We love Per Christian Foss. It must be completely okay to be gay. As I'm speaking to you right now, the boss of the organization is having a meeting with the educational department to discuss more funding for our projects in the schools, because this is definitely something that we need to do take more seriously, that the government needs to take more seriously, and that the educational system needs to take more seriously.
How friendly would you say the media in Norway is? Do you see LGBT issues treated fairly, or is it still relatively sensationalized?
Is the reporting fair, or is it sensationalized?
Yes.
It's both. It is fair in a sense that our issues are taken seriously, I would say, by the media. Issues of homophobia, of hate crime, etc., will always cause an outrage and will be treated seriously. But and then at the same time, you know, if there is a chance for sensationalization, say a politician being caught in the act or that kind of thing, then of course yes, gay sex will always be a sensation somehow. But being in a country where most of our formal rights at least are in place, always somehow treated with due respect, I would say.
Well, have you found that as Norway becomes more multicultural, in fact, I dare say you're probably one of the most multicultural, diverse countries in Scandinavia, if not in Europe, really, you have to reach your message to new Norwegians as much as to the old traditional Norwegians or the ones that live up in the north and north and west?
Basically, LLH has a lot of branches of groups that work with different areas. These are volunteers very often, and sometimes they, if they grow, they sometimes grow into organizations of their own. And one such organization is called Queer World, which started from LLH. It was actually one of the founders, Louis Marner, and they work mainly with asylum seekers, LGBT asylum seekers, and immigrants, and I guess our new Norwegians. So to speak, and they've also tried to tackle the issue of, not new religions, but new to the Norwegian society, anyways. And they've had, you know, they've brought in gay imams to speak, and they're trying to create dialogue in the various communities. And we also have a group called Open Church Group, which has been doing the same kind of work, but for longer, in terms of. Christianity and then various Christian denominations in Norway. So we have the strategy, I guess, is more of getting the people who are actually getting people involved who are actually experiencing this. So Open Church Group will be Christian LGBT people, and Queer World will try and engage the immigrants, the asylum seekers, to do the work themselves within their communities. And this, of course, we support wholeheartedly, and we work together with them in order to try and reach new groups and new communities.
You guys are doing an amazing job both domestically and internationally, and we want to thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule. I think, honestly, on the personal level, I think LLH is a good role model for LGBT organizations worldwide.
Som ett ettal, akkurat som ett fossefall, akkurat som en setball. Falla in och ut av kärlighet, ramla i min lärlighet. Du kan hoppa i det med mig, du kan gå på trinet med mig.
And that was Lars Vajuar here on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. That was his song Rett opp og ned, which translates as straight up and down.
A little Norwegian rap action going on. Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Prior to that, we were hearing from Ida Borgstrøm from LLH, and we're actually going to hear a little bit more from her now, where she speaks about the former Prime Minister of Norway.
He didn't come out until quite late. He didn't want to be branded as a gay politician, plus he was worried about how this would be, how his political party, the right wing party, how they would receive him. So he didn't come out until very late, and when he did, a lot of things were already in place, you know. But you know, all in all, celebrated for bravery, for coming out finally, and I think Norway is quite proud. And the movement as well is quite proud. But he's always been quite quiet about his, you know, he's not one of those people who will necessarily flag his sexual orientation with this sort of fear of being placed in the box where all you are is gay and that you always have to represent gay issues.
Ida there speaking about the former conservative prime minister of Norway, Herr Foss, now we're going to hear from him in his own words.
Do you feel, particularly when you became prime minister, that you had this, almost a obligation to show the world, not just for your party, but that you could be out there?
Well, I think all of Scandinavia is different from the rest of the world in terms of liberal mind and in terms of accepting homosexual people and lesbian people. More or less, you see the same in Sweden and in Denmark. Well, I think all of Scandinavia is...
Do you think that being gay made a difference in how the world perceived you?
Yes, I think it made a difference some 10 or 15 years ago, but probably not today. Well, I was so publicly known years before I went into office as a member of the cabinet. So I don't think people looked upon me as something strange or different from others. And being gay or lesbian is not a question to be a member or not of the cabinet.
Which, honestly, is partly due to all the hard work that you've done.
You're quite an inspiration to us here in Australia. Thank you.
Both as a Norwegian and as a member of the great gay political family, what would you like to see happen in 2012?
Europe is not a dream. Wherever you go, Eastern Europe has a long way to go to be more liberal-minded and to open for one-sex marriage. It takes years and years to change the mind of Eastern Europe at least. But things will change all over the world, I think, because I've lived down for 60 years or 61 years. And during my lifetime, things have changed very much in Europe as well as in other parts of the world.
Are you married to your partner?
Yes, I am. Since the law was introduced in Norway some 4 or 5 years ago. So we first went into the partnership. And when the law was changed, we went in to be married. It is the same situation for us.
Congratulations. It's very inspiring to hear as well.
Thank you.
Working to change that same law.
Here in Australia, the idea of being gay and conservative is very strange to us. Did you find, since your political career started as part of the Young Conservatives, did you find that you had to change minds as you went along?
Well, there might be that slight difference between Australia and Europe and Norway. And I will describe my party as a liberal conservative party, and it has not been a political burden or some problem for me in the party because we are conservative. Because the conservative party follows the majority in terms of one-sex marriage, for example, two or 3 years ago.
Well, do you think that you're going to make another run for the office again?
it's too late now to speculate on that. The chairman of the Conservative Party in Norway, he is running for the Prime Minister's office next year, 2013. Well, she has an open mind for anything.
Thank you so much, Herr Voss.
Yes.
Welcome to Back of World Wide Wave, Jager Kara Freeman. And if that little intro didn't give it away, we are in Norway tonight. I'm joined here with all the three musketeers are here, Squirrel and Tom, finally all together. By the way, you can catch us in this week's MCV, page 22. And listen, to our new listeners tonight, we go to a country every single week. This week, we are in Norway, and we are uncovering LGBT life in the land of the Vikings. Coming up, we have another Eurovision chat with our favorite Andrew Bell.
Ooh, aren't they cheeky?
They are cheeky, and they are somewhat, I believe, premature, because my two-word comment for this in my cheat sheet is, Lordy, Lordy. It's a tribute band gone very bad, and they've also forgotten who they're playing tribute to. but presaging that sort of era of trying to... This was when Eurovision was trying to work out where it was going, and we did... And it got a bit more interesting, because Lordi did this sort of heavy metal thing. Was that 2007?
Lordi was the next year.
2006. Oh, 2006. Oh, wow.
But see, that was the thing. Lordi just kind of figured out... Lordi was camping.
Yes.
These guys are... You can't tell if they're being too serious or not.
That's right. And the costumes weren't quite either bad enough or good enough. It's the good-bad thing again.
I mean, there's this schizophrenic thing going on.
Whatever bad is in Norwegian. Could you email us, please?
Yes, email us, please. That will be joyeurovision@gmx.com.
Good plug.
I do like that. Now, this next one... Oh,
do we have to?
Yes, we have to.
Okay.
Oh, God. Here it is. Alexander Rybak, Fairy Tale.
I know a lot of people who just were in love with this guy.
Yeah. He got the vision.
Did he actually sing? It was disengaged from me. I mean, okay, it's got a clap-along bit.
Yeah.
2009. Fairy Tale.
Yeah.
Years ago, when I was younger, I kinda liked a girl I knew.
She
was mine, and we were sweethearts.
Oh, yes, you were.
That was then, but then it's true.
I'm in love. See, he kinda liked her, then there were sweethearts, then it was a fairy tale. Make your mind up. You know, and look, he won it. Why did he win it?
He
collarless shirt, three buttons undone. That's why he won it.
Oh, and he worked. Let's see. Remember, we're in Moscow this year, and he's Belarusian. So he had the whole crowd definitely eating out of his hand.
Oh, yes, amongst other women.
But,
I mean, poor old Norway. They've only won it three times. And one of them we've condemned.
Yeah.
This one we've been snarly about, and we've just loved the other one. We like Norway to be Norway, please.
Yes. But see, this is the thing that they actually got really right. They knew the staging, because it was all about leaps, jumps, and
it was a and it was a huge space as well, which, and using that space is now very important, because you're putting a show on. It's the Eurovision show contest.
Oh, yeah. Not the song.
No.
The song means something a little bit, but very minor. But, you know, it was a decent... It won, and it at least got them out. And welcome back to the World Wide Wave. That was our chat with Andrew Bell, The Full Catastrophe, Saturday nights at 9 p.m. here on Joy 94.9. And remember, you can catch full versions of all of our interviews tonight on our Facebook page or Twitter page. We're at W3Joy. And remember, get in touch with us on air at joy.org.au or SMS 0427-JOY949 International. That's 61427-JOY949. Now we're going to have something interesting here. Interesting spin on Eurovision. It's the Superstars and Voi Voi here on Joy 94.9, the World Wide Wave. Had the opportunity to speak with Steinar Svensson of the Fagotkor. Now, the Fagotkor is a bit of an interesting thing, as you'll find out.
The inspiration was I met some guys in a gay place for 10 years ago, I think, something like that. And then we, a few of them had any background from choir, actually. It was that. And then I met the guys, and they were really fun. And we went, one of my friends, we had Noshpil, after party. And then we started to sing. One of the guys asked, shouldn't we start a choir? I started in February 2004, so it's now almost 8 years ago. In December 2004, we had our first Christmas concert.
Wow.
So, because we have our concert each year is... we have two big productions each year, and it's the Christmas concert, which we called God Jul and Forgotten Toys, and the other big production is the Summer Shows in June, which is at the same time as the Pride in Oslo. So and the Christmas concerts, we do everything ourselves. We do the solo, we do the hosting and everything, and but in the Summer Show, we always invite a famous Norwegian comedian or something like that. And
now, your name is quite interesting from an English point of view. Can you tell us how you came around to your name, Fagacor?
We have a lot of creative guys in the choir. As you can see of the things we make on YouTube. When it comes to the name, it was a lot of suggestions. some more hysterical and very gay than others. Yeah, and yeah, it was Oslo Oral Choir, and it was Oslo, which we couldn't use because then we wouldn't have get in the audience.
Well, now it's interesting so, that you say that, because from an American point of view, the word faggot is blows everything else out of the water. You know, the Oslo Oral is a bit tongue in cheek.
Yeah, I know. It really is. So that's the fun part of it, because when people ask us, faggot choir, was it this? Do you play the instrument? Because you know, in Norwegian, faggot eller fagott is the
bassoon.
It's a Norwegian word of bassoon, as you know.
Yes.
So it was just playing with words and playing with the word faggot.
Do you have anything to say to your fans in Australia?
We see you in 2 years. We will come to Sydney and have concerts in Sydney.
We look forward to seeing you in Sydney. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today, Steiner. Mine damer og herrer, gutter og jenter, til alle der ute som sitter og venter. What? Vi inviterer og spiller til dans. Yeah. Kom ut på gulvet, rød på kroppen og bæ.
And welcome back to the World Wide Wave. And remember, you can catch our full versions of all these interviews on our Twitter page at W3Joy right after the show, or alternatively, World Wide Wave. Mash all the words together, do a search, and you can find us right on Facebook. But Twitter's always the best way, at W3Joy. That's three the number. Now, we will be back to you as shortly after a few messages that keep us going right here on Joy. Welcome back to the World Wide Wave. I'm Ikar Freeman, joined here by Squirrel Maine, as well as Tom Ford. What do you think of Mr. Gay Europe, Squirrel?
Mr. Gay Europe's pretty good, but I'm still back on, do they really call it faggot core?
Well, faggot core, yes. As Steiner mentioned in his interview, he said that the faggot stands as a bassoon, but see, that's an interesting thing. Can we reclaim words like that? The notion of faggot as doesn't really have the same sort of meaning in Norwegian, but it does have a very interesting thing in English ears. And so it makes us also say, like, it kind of still promotes the word.
It does, but we're talking about Norway, where the word faggot, other than a couple of people who know the English meaning of that and the negative connotations involved with that, it's not really reclaiming a word in Norway. It is if we use it, but
yeah.
I don't think they're at the point where they're looking at an international audience. To them, it's a little bit of a humor. To us, it's a little offensive.
Well, see, it's one of the things that come up. Like, when you notice, and there was a recent controversy with a South African group, the Antwoord, who apparently one of the members is actually gay, but he did use this F word, and I'm going to, from here on in, call it the F word, the six-letter F word, in the rap of Fuck alle Nyers, and I just probably violated another swear word right there.
I think it's okay to use the word faggot. I think we should own it. I think we should be proud of who we are. I think we should be okay and proud to be gay.
I really dispute that, because it's still promoting a hatred. You cannot reclaim history. Are we not evolved enough as human beings to actually think of new positive ways to describe each other?
Well, I don't know that I necessarily agree that you can't reclaim history. You can't alter history, but you can certainly change moving forward the meaning of things that happened. And by taking the word faggot and making it positive, that's never going to happen. Come on, we're never going to be using it in a positive light. But to try and bring the meaning around in a positive way, I don't think is a negative thing.
I don't think that itself is negative, but what I find more disturbing to me personally is just that we have this ability right now to say, okay, we are... I think it's de-evolution. I really think that human beings are, we as gay people, as human beings, are really more capable of finding new ways to express each other.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
Speaking of capable, love your words, because, you know, the second half of our Norway show here on Worldwide Wave is telling us some capable actions by Mr. Gay Europe, also by LLH's Marna. We have a great lineup of capable people from Norway talking to us. If you've got any thoughts or comments on the word faggot, feel free to email us on air at joy.org.au. But for right now, we are going to be hearing from Mr. Gay Europe himself. Pretty inspiring man, pretty inspiring organization.
The Mr. Gay Europe organization leader, Tora Alsheim.
Well, it actually started as a party idea, because Oslo was hosting Europe Pride in 2005, and the former president wanted to throw a big party, and we said, why not make Mr. Gay Europe your Mr. Gay Europe competition. But it was meant to be only for 1 year. But before we actually had the final the first year, other cities were applying to do it the next year. So we thought, well, we have to do something about this. And then the next year we all went to Amsterdam to make the competition there.
What's your connection with the Mr. Gay World? Are you the originators, or did Mr. Gay World come in existence right before?
Well, after we've been doing Mr. Gay Europe for a couple of years, we saw that there was a need for a Mr. Gay World competition. So we had what we called the Dublin Summit, where organizers from all over the world met, and jointly created or founded Mr. Gay World, and the competition has been working since then. Now, Mr. Gay Europe and Mr. Gay World work together, but we are two separate competitions. The first year, we had 13 countries, and the maximum we had was 25 countries.
Wow. And how many are projected for this this year, 2012?
We've said that we have a maximum limit of 32 countries. This because, I mean, we need to house everyone and we need to feed them. So that's why we said maximum 32 countries this year.
Now, for our listeners, clearly in Australia, where we just have Mr. Gay Australia, and that's the end of it. How is the Mr. Gay Europe heats, I guess you could say, organized?
Well, the thing is, Europe is a very diverse continent, and the countries are very different when it comes to the level of gay rights, economy, and so on. So what we say that is that as long as the producer, the local, the national producer, can guarantee that the election has been fair, whether it's been online, whether it's been a real competition, or in some situations, we allow the organizer to nominate a delegate for the first year in order to get, because then the next year there will be a real competition. So some countries like Ireland and Norway and the Netherlands have had competitions for years and years. And then some countries, especially in the eastern part of Europe, just started their competition.
And Mr. Gay Europe as a contest itself, it's not just obviously a looks contest. It actually has a lot to do with the personality and also being able to promote a message of gay rights, does it?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's something that's been really close to our hearts from the very beginning, because we think that I myself is a politician here in Norway, and I think we can spread important information or facts about gay life and gay equality, but we can wrap it in a nice package with a show and a lot of fun.
Is it broadcast in any countries, any participating countries?
That's again very different from country to country. In some countries, they have a lot of coverage. Some countries, it's just one of those competitions. And in some countries, they actually have to do the competition in secret locations, because if it was publicly known that was a competition like this, outside the gay community, there will be problems with people who will try to destroy or even hurt the delegates. Destroy the competition or hurt the delegates. I mean, when we did Mr. Gay Europe in Hungary, there was posters on the net with my face, with, you know, bullseye, you know, and the address of the hotel, because they want to put it in a nice way to get rid of us.
Wow.
So we had police protection 24/7 when we were in Hungary. And also, this year, for the very first time, Greece is taking part, which
wow.
I think is really nice. It's as I said, Europe is a very diverse continent, and each country has their own cultural background, and most European countries would like to do it their own way. So it has taken some time to develop a competition where everyone can, take part on their own terms. So we're very happy that more and more countries take part in the competition.
And finally, what is probably the most memorable success story of the Mr. Gay Europe competition in your view?
You know what? That's so many. I mean, there's been one guy that he told us that he was only up at the age of 17 was thrown out of his schoolyard because he told everyone was gay, and then he turned around and participated in Mr. Gay Europe and came back as a hero. We have had boys or young men being exploited by the porn industry who took part in Mr. Gay Europe and came back as winners. We had people who had death threats when they signed on, and when they came back, they were welcomed by their own community as role models. And, you know, in many ways, that's one of the reasons, or the most important reasons, why we do this year after year.
Thank you. And what are your other, what's your dream for the Mr. Gay Europe in 2012? How do you, what are you going to add different to this year's contest?
Well, this year, we are working together with a very interesting partner, the Gay Village in Rome, who, biggest events in Southern Europe. And the fun will take part in the Gay Village. It's a huge amusement park. And I think that will be the biggest number of audience that we'll have so far. So we're looking really forward to that.
Welcome back to the World Wide Wave. We're traveling this week to Norway. That was Oddbor's song, Stress. We have been hearing from Herr Foss, Ida from LLH, Mr. Gay Europe, Steiner from the Faggot Corps, and we have also been talking about how exciting it is to pretty much be reclaiming not just faggot as a word, but also just the whole idea that the gay liberation movement is becoming more empowered. Here in Australia, we've been fighting for gay marriage to become a sort of a standard accepted part of life. In places like Kenya, they're looking to move away from persecution. In places like Korea, looking to move towards toleration. In places like the US and Australia, just working on liberation. So no longer just being tolerated, but actually having the same liberties that other people do, marriage, adoption, etc. In Norway, it's more advanced than that. This week, we're visiting a country where they've got that dialed so much that they're now reaching out internationally. We had the privilege of speaking with Marna from LLH, one of the foremost lesbians in the country of Norway. She won an award for being the second most influential lesbian. And so now we're going to hear a little bit more from her and her views on moving from being an internal battle to an international empowerment.
LLH has partnerships with organizations in South Asia and in East Africa. So in East Africa, we have a partnership going with an organization called the Gay and Lesbian Coalition of Kenya. We've been partnering with them since 2007. And the support is that, well, the way it works is that the support is provided by the Norwegian Directorate for Development Aid, NORAD. And it flows through LLH and to the recipient. So we do the we partner with them. We talk with them. We try to influence Norwegian government policy with regard to Kenya together with them. And the same goes for the cooperation that we have with the with an organization called the Blue Diamond Society in Nepal. This is also a project that is funded via NORAD through LLH.
What does the Blue Diamond Society do?
The Blue Diamond Society in Nepal is a huge organization. It's an umbrella for different LGBT organizations all over the country. And it's a major... it's been a major influence in all the great political changes that have taken place over the last years when it comes to LGBT rights in Nepal.
Well, I guess one of the big questions is, how did this come to your attention so far away in Norway?
It came to our attention. At the time, LLH did not have any international projects. So it's basically a group of people, to begin with, outside of LLH, who've been doing international work for a long time. For instance, part of Amnesty International's LGBT network that has existed for a long time. And here in Norway, we started up the Amnesty International LGBT network in 98. So I was part of that network first and had a lot of international contacts. Some of the people I work with, the one, for instance, who works with the project in Kenya, she was living in Kenya in 2006, and I knew, you know, she knew all these organizations or all the people. So, and the other guy I'm working with is he spent a lot of time in Nepal. So it's a combination of these people getting together and deciding that let's start looking for project funding and let's do it via LLH.
Interesting.
Because LLH is the group that would, you know, it's the organization, because it's the Norwegian LGBT organization. It was a natural point, you know, it was a natural organization to actually be doing this. So it was, I think we came from the outside into LLH looking for this kind of opportunity for the organization, also to build. Because we believe it's important to build this solidarity from an LGBT organizational point of view. The LGBT rights organization in Norway cooperating with the LGBT rights organizations in these other countries. It's a partnership, and it's a mutual learning process. There's a lot to learn also from our point of view entering into these partnerships. LGBT community in Norway, are there a lot of things that we can learn from, for instance, the way that transgenders are perceived in Nepal. And I just think that it would be interesting to have more international work, more interest in international work also coming from Australia. Yeah, because it's you know, it's also very a highly politicized field to be working in. It's you know, there are lots of things to think about coming from the West when you enter this field. So
it must be really interesting. And I like the way that you're saying that you don't just come in as a Westerner and pretend Norway knows it all and you're going to help Nepal, but rather you look for that reciprocity. Definitely appreciate that perspective. So thank you for that.
I think it's the only way of working together.
And welcome back to the World Wide Wave, where tonight we have been in Norway. We have heard from the former gay, not formerly gay, currently gay, the former Prime Minister of Norway. We've heard from the leading LGBT organization in Norway, LLH, talking about how emancipation is as close away as 10 years.
It's possibly even sooner.
As advanced as they are, it's believable by our standards, that they could achieve that within the next 10 years, if not sooner. We've also heard from the Mr. Gay, a Europe organization, and we've heard from Fagator, and of course, we've had that new and interesting Eurovision information update that we get every week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hello there out there, Andy. And next week, it will be a major show because it's a coming home for all three of us. We're covering the USA. We will be speaking with the Consul General of the United States down here in Melbourne, Mr. James Urbanschitz. That's a very tricky name, but it's a very interesting story. We'll be covering the new recent directive by the Obama administration to help protect LGBT rights worldwide and how that plans to be implemented down here in Melbourne.
Again, it's that move from liberation to empowerment, and we see the U.S. is moving just towards where Norway was, as we discussed, helping the international scene.
Let's hope they can achieve as much in 10 years.
And as always, we have many ways of getting in contact with us. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, just to Worldwide Wave, and see what magically pops up if you plush all the letters together. Best other way is Twitter, at W3, that's the number 3, Joy, and also our email address, which is Lovely Squirrel.
worldwidewave@ymail.com.
Oh, wow.
Did you like my squirrel voice? I tried. I tried to get my squirrel voice.
Changed the email address to lovelysquirrel@ymail.com. Team, we need to talk about that. We also need to hear from you. Listeners, if you've got ideas or if you're listening from a country that's experiencing persecution, that has methods of toleration, liberation, empowerment, you name it, we really, really want to hear your story, tell your story, and share your story in this great gay global village that we live in.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.